We welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We are in the midst of our five-part series talking with the individual Tuolumne County supervisors. This week, we're joined by District 5 Supervisor Jaron Brandon. Supervisor Brandon, next question, District 5, where exactly does it all cover?
We were talking, definitely the coolest district in the county, not afraid to admit it. It's the western and southwestern portions of the county. And so broadly, I represent Jamestown and Columbia and west of the city limits of Sonora as kind of a rule of thumb there.
Two state parks in your district.
Two state parks, correct, yeah.
So for District 5, what would you say are some of the issues really just specific to District 5 right now?
Absolutely. I think housing is still, it was on the campaign, it is now, it is the fundamental issue when we talk about, I think, homelessness, economic advancement, a lot of the local struggles of everything else. It's extremely high housing prices and it's very low availability. So that continues to be a priority for me into 2022. We've seen TCAR has put out some of the Association of Realtors. We get regular updates from them. We're seeing these huge price spikes every quarter in the sale market, but also the rental market. And that just makes it very difficult. Homelessness has become also a huge issue. We see it in areas, you know, around Jamestown as well. We see it in areas, you know, there's over 30 different camps on private lands or public lands all around the county. It's becoming, you know, an epidemic kind of issue, and it's not unique to Tuolumne County. All of California is facing this. A lot of states are facing this in a very difficult regulatory environment. What can we do as local leaders to be able to address it? So we've been pursuing, looking at the idea of a navigation center, looking at a sanctioned shelter site somewhere that's able to hopefully consolidate, organize, make a just one step off the bottom place for some of these folks. And then I think a lot of it has been with the resources that support those efforts. So it's, you know, behavioral health and law enforcement and fire also. Those are three areas we've had huge issues with: vacancy rates, being unable to retain deputies, clinicians, being able to have the equipment that we need for the Jamestown Fire Station, for the Columbia Fire Station. Those are huge issues. I think we've made a lot of progress in investing in fire. We did certainly a historic increase for law enforcement, more than I think has ever been given to address really despicable pay gap and pay inequities with surrounding areas, to really make a big step towards that. And looking at that for behavioral health as well, the folks that are trying to get people out of addiction or to not go into addiction or to treat the trauma that's putting them on the street. Those have become huge issues. I've worked on a lot of other stuff too with dumping solid waste type activities. That's been huge. There's a lot of transportation projects happening. We have a great walking biking trail plan that was being passed out, master plan for a huge trail going around Columbia through Sonora and down to Jamestown along the railroad tracks. Lot of issues, yeah.
So that kind of trail, is that many years down the road or something looking at over the short term?
Yeah, you know, this is going to be one of those documents that basically helps us secure grant funding. It's going to be piecemeal. I don't think the money's going to be all there. There's probably at least 15 different funding sources, if I remember from the chart. Those things are just complicated to build, complicated to fund, and you kind of figure out where you can get it. But it at least gives us this roadmap that when we go for active transportation funds or federal Build Back Better funds or whatever it's going to be, we can say this is the impact it's going to have in the community, this is who it's going to help, here's how we're going to do it. And that's really important because we apply for and get a lot of grants to build these things. This is not local road dollars going into it.
You know, what's going on right now when it comes to road projects in your district? Anything significant?
Yeah, we have a huge realignment and, you know, fixing of the Pedro Y. And so that's going to be, you know, going into Columbia from Sonora. That's an intersection that was identified with over 70 accidents in a 10-year period. So we got, as we were talking, another big grant, Federal Highway Safety Grant, to take off the turn lane, the merge lane that's been kind of dangerous there. Put more dedicated lanes in, better light, realign that whole intersection. Obviously, there's been traffic there as well with the commercial development that came in as well. I think that's going to help with that, with having a turn lane, because that's a left turn. It's kind of dangerous right now. We also have still in the long-term works, the widening of the highway in Jamestown moving forward. But in the more near term, I believe by 2023, we're looking at the realignment and reconstruction of the Rawhide Bridge intersection, turning that to a pedestrian path, realigning it with Main Street, and having a really modern, new, and safe intersection that I think Jamestown will be proud of. So huge transportation projects. And then always in that, how do we take those little triangles or entranceways or pieces of land and make them beautiful? Because my district in particular, we're a tourism-driven area. You mentioned we got parks. We got a lot of traffic going through. We need to snag those folks off the highway and say, come stop, grab a burger, grab a beer, you know, visit the park, see some history. So always thinking that perspective as well in the transportation.
Noticed driving around through the Pedro Y recently, the posts that are up, you know, in that turn, is that part of the construction work that's going to take place?
Yeah. We had, there was a number of cars making left turns at that place, and that was with the intersection, a place where many of those accidents were happening. The commercial development that came in, that's the one where the Dollar General has moved in, and that was all settled in 2017. I think one of the hardest things with this position is you come into a lot of decisions that were made before your time, and to an extent, you're somewhat committed. Foreseeing that we're trying to fix up that intersection because it's dangerous, and then putting a lot of traffic at that spot without a way to mitigate at the most dangerous point how they're going to turn into there from the main place they're going to come from, which is probably Sonora, a huge number of them. That was at least one tool to try and keep it a little bit safer. If people can go around, do a loop, try to make sure they're, you know, approaching it from Shaw's Flat side. So that's kind of the initial steps. You can see some of the construction fencing coming up. That should be starting pretty soon. That will have definitely some impacts on travel. But again, this is something that we got to do every now and then, and we're going to do it as fast as we can. I've heard a few months construction for the site. We did rebid the whole thing. We got a much lower rate, and so it's moving along.
You know, something in your district, I've had a couple of people who maybe don't watch county government as closely as some, and they said, oh, I thought Dollar General wasn't approved a few years ago, but it's a different spot, different builder, that type of thing.
Yeah, no, it is. It's confusing and frustrating sometimes to kind of peel back the layers. They were initially looking at something around Letty's Fruit Stand area of building one from Dollar General, and that was stopped by the community element, by the historic corridor, and protecting kind of the identity of Columbia there. When they applied this time, where it is, they're a tenant in what is the Stone Mill Center. And the Stone Mill Shopping Center, you know, we've all driven by that sign. It's been up there for probably a decade. So this was a long-term commercial project. And it was approved with its conditions of approval. And then the business came in, and the county has no say over really what business moves into a place. If it's a permissive use, so it's a commercial activity in a place that's okay with, you know, commercial activity, then we don't have an ordinance in place for that. Most cities and counties, vast majority, do not have something like that. So a lot of the specific decisions with the Stone Mill Center and the transportation of, you know, okay, ingress, egress, the fire flow, those things, they've been made over the past 3 to 4 years. It is confusing with that. And anybody ever has any questions, we don't speak qualitatively really to these projects. This one's already pretty far along with it. But I'd be happy to explain it because it's still a learning process for me as well. As with all these issues, anybody can always reach out, and my office phone goes right to my cell phone. I'm always happy to explain this stuff and talk to people about it.
We're going to take one more break. We're talking to Supervisor Jaron Brandon on this weekend's Motherlode Views. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment is coming up in just a minute.